We are in the final week of our series, Real Talk. You guys, and just want to start out with a little recap, okay? Sound good? Sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, Jake started out week one with the main point of our entire series, and he said that God made sex on purpose and for a purpose. And then Levi, week two, came, and he talked to us about how true freedom, it doesn't come from doing whatever you want. It comes from doing whatever leads to life, if you guys remember that. And then last week, Jake and Levi and Bethany were up here, and they answered a bunch of your guys' questions about sexuality and faith and the Bible. And it was awesome. And we just want to start out by saying that, yes, tonight we're talking about marriage, but we know that you guys are in middle school. Yeah, like we know that.
We know that your age
is like 10 to 14. And honestly, you're probably thinking about marriage as much as you're thinking about like filing your tax returns, right? Or like investing in the stock market.
But Heather, I actually did think a lot about the future in middle school. I actually knew that I was going to have 10 dogs and a yellow Jeep in the future.
Wow. And now we have one cat and a tiny electric car.
The future is still out there. It's coming.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't really think about the future that much either. I guess I did think about marriage a little bit because, like, a bunch of adults in my life were married. But that was pretty much the extent of it. So then why are we talking to marriage about marriage to the middle schoolers?
Well, we know you guys are young, obviously. But you will grow up someday and be of age where you could get married. And although we know that not everyone gets married, it's a safe bet that majority of you will someday be married. But even if you don't, you will interact with other people who are married.
And the other reason we're talking about this is because in this series, Real Talk, we've been talking about God's good design for sex, that he made it to be both powerful and pleasurable, and that he made it to be experienced in marriage. So we thought it would be important to talk about marriage.
Yeah. So because we're married, we want to take some time to share with you guys our stories. And because we believe that God works through real people's stories, and that teaches us, it encourages us, and also because we know that there's two ways that you can learn some wisdom.
That's true.
One from your own experiences, and one from hearing it from other people's experiences. And we definitely want you guys to hear from our experiences on this topic.
Yeah, instead of learning it for yourself in some of these areas. Some of them you can copy us, and I think those will be pretty clear. Well, we're going to start tonight by talking about our own stories, like Tyler said. And I just want to give you guys some real talk really quick. Because guess what? Marriage happens when two people come together and they bring all of who they are before marriage into marriage. And, you know, this sometimes trips us up. Like, we think that sexuality and relationships, like dating, it's just a super personal thing that only really affects us in the moment. And that, you know, someday we'll be an adult and we'll figure it all out and we'll start thinking about marriage, right? That's often how we think of it. But the truth is, you bring your habits, you bring your experiences, and you bring your history into marriage with you. It's not like your story is like, you know, one book before you're married, and then you get to like put that book on the shelf and then start a brand new book. It's just chapter one, and then you start chapter two. So everything that happens in chapter one, the bad, the good, everything gets brought in and affects chapter two. So because of that, we are going to actually start our stories way before we got married in 2013. I'm actually going to start mine in 1998. And it's when I was 8 years old. And that was actually when I had my first experience with sexuality, because I was sexually abused on and off for a year by someone older than me that I trusted. And I was terrified, you guys, of anyone finding out, because they told me that we would both be in really big trouble if I told anyone. Eventually, because God is so good and he has amazing grace, my parents found out what was happening and they were able to stop it. But even though I was no longer being hurt, I was all of a sudden faced with so much brokenness in my life. And you guys, so much was against me already when I was 8 years old. That's not the end of the story, though, because God was at work. See, I experienced bitterness and hurt and anger and just confusion because of the sin that happened. And this is important, you guys, because sin, even other people's sin, has consequences in our life. But because I decided to trust God, I also experienced healing and a restoration of my purity and my innocence and my joy. My next experience with sexuality and relationships came when I got to middle school. I started focusing a lot on getting attention from guys. I wanted them to like me, to think that I was cool or funny or pretty. That was really important to me, and I would spend a lot of my energy doing that. And honestly, like at the time, this seemed innocent enough because, you know, we all want to be liked, right? And we all like getting attention from people. But the problem is, that's not what we are designed for, to get all of our identity from other people. So when we put our identity in other people, it leaves us empty every time. And it will never be enough. Because God did not create us to have our identity in how attractive we are, or how many times our crush comments on our Instagram post, or how many people like us. That's not what He created us to have our identity in. He created us to have our identity firmly in Him and who we are because of Jesus. So that's where I was in middle school and in high school, because it continued to high school. But that is still not the end of the story, because God was at work. In 11th grade, I was dating my first real boyfriend when we started talking about sex and relationships at youth group, kind of like we're doing right now. And that was the first real time I had really actually thought about what God's plan was for my life in this area. And you guys, I made the really hard decision to backtrack from what I thought was okay with my boyfriend and start doing what God had for me instead. And I decided for the first time in my life to forever, at that point, start trusting God with my sexuality and relationships.
Well, my story begins with my first experience with sexuality when I was 12 years old. And I was playing video games in the basement of my friend's house. And he just casually was like, "Hey, do you want to see my dad's Playboy collection?" And I was like, "Sure. I've never seen anything like that before in my life." And then he's like, "Well, I can show you some of my favorite websites that I go and watch porn on." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And guys, from that moment on, I was hooked and addicted. I became infatuated with girls mainly for what they could do for me rather than anything pure. And I started having a lot of girlfriends for that reason. At the end of my freshman year, I got asked by one of my friends on the football team if I wanted to go to youth group with him. And guys, I was completely all in. I was like, for the next 4 years, became a leader in the youth group, started praying for my family that they would follow Christ as I was praying before the games on my football team, which was like incredible. But all the while, I was failing to overcome my addiction to porn. And I was thinking, you know what? I will never really cross those boundaries with a real girl. So I entered back in the dating realm my senior year, eager to show how much I've grown through these past years as a leader in my youth group. I got my first Christian girlfriend, who, albeit she was a new Christian, I helped lead her and then eventually her family to Christ. But we were on a different level in terms of our relationship with God, and it ended up being one of the most unhealthy relationships I have ever entered in. And just a side note for all you guys, like, if you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, then date other Christians, because if you are a Christ follower, then that is your identity, and you want to date someone who has that shared identity.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't settle for anything less. Make that your non-negotiable standard for dating.
It's not enough either for you guys to just date someone who's a Christian if they're on a totally different level than you, like Tyler and his girlfriend were in their faith. If they're at a different place in their relationship with God, then you guys are going to end up being at different places in your relationship. So find someone to date who is truly running after Jesus.
And someone who draws you closer to Christ and vice versa. So anyways, I was dating this girl, and we were in such a different place. She was in such a different place, and I was in such a different place with our relationship with God that our boundaries, my boundaries that I put on myself, just went out the door. And guys, boundaries take discipline and commitment. And if you're dating someone with less boundaries than you, then any time you are faced with temptation or just caught up in the moment, you are going to revert back to their boundaries. It's going to be easier for you to lessen your boundaries to their level rather than from them to go up and meet your higher standards of boundaries. And my failure was thinking that, oh, because I'm a Christian and a leader in my church and because, you know, she's a Christian too, God will just make himself the center of our relationship because we're Christians. It'll just trickle down. And guys, that is not the reality. The reality was I had to put in a lot of hard work to counteract the bad habits that I created in my life from growing up. And I needed to follow God's standards for what he had for my life in regard to my sexuality. And as a result to my previous porn addiction and unhealthy, failed relationships, in that moment, I became depressed. And I felt so distant from God. And it was all because of my shame. And it was in this place where a friend invited me to Nicaragua on a missions trip. And I was said yes, mainly because I needed to get out of my reality. I needed to flee from my depression. And guys, on that trip, it was probably the most life-changing experience of my life. I can go into details with you guys later, but from that trip, I finally came to a point where I truly believed that God could take all my pain, all my sin, all the damage that I've done because of my failed relationships and my addiction to porn, that he made me new, that I could feel that he could make me new. And that was when I decided to put my trust in God with my sexuality and relationships. And then we met each other.
Yay!
A couple, probably like a year later, we met our first summer working at a Bible camp. And it was the best. Like,
we have a picture, I think.
Oh.
Of a. Yeah.
Oh wow! There it is. Look at that hair, guys. Woo!
Yep. That no mustache then.
Yeah, a little baby Tyler face.
And then I think, I know we're fast forwarding, but you can. We also have a wedding photo. Yeah, from that was 3 years after that. We got married 3 years after.
But guys, I highly recommend meeting your future spouse, doing ministry together. Because we got engaged at that camp, we got married at that camp, and we've been doing ministry for the 7 years of our relationship. It's always been a common thread throughout every year is doing ministry together, and that's just been really amazing.
Oh, it's the best. Well, our relationship has literally been amazing because before we even met each other, we both had already put our trust in God with our sexuality and relationships. But we're not going to lie to you guys. It was also really tough at times. We had to walk through the consequences of the habits that we had already formed and the history we already had. There was ripple effects from things that we had chosen to do and things that had happened to us, habits we had made in the past that we had to then deal with in our relationship. And for me, you guys, like, I was so used to finding my affirmation and attention from guys and putting my identity in that, that it was really hard for me to be like, okay, I now have to find that solely in God and not in this awesome guy that I'm dating and then gonna be married to. And that was really tough for me. And since we had both gone too far with people we had dated in the past, we had to reconcile and figure out what that looked like for our relationship moving forward.
And because of my past addiction to porn, I had to redefine my expectations of what sex was actually like. And you guys, we've been together for 7 years. So now our individual stories have been our shared story for the past 7 years. And it's true that we still sometimes have to work really hard through the ripple effects of things that choices we've made and things that we've made habit while growing up.
Yeah, that's true. But here's the better truth, you guys. Are you ready for this? Because we had both already decided to trust God with our sexuality and relationships, we weren't adding to our issues in our own relationship. We weren't adding to them. Yes, we had to work through things from the past, but we got to do it knowing that it was worth it because God was building and writing us a new future. It's awesome.
And guys, you know what that future is? That future is a freaking awesome marriage.
Woo!
It's the best decision of our lives. Guys, I have a wife who challenges me in my life for greater things in my life and also in my spiritual life. Guys, I have a wife who encourages my dreams and makes them her dreams, who supports me in my passions. Go Bears! Let's go, Trubisky! Oh, man. We have gone on so many... We have gone on so many spontaneous adventures. We have binge-watched so many TV shows and movies. And, guys, I get to celebrate with her when we thrive. I get to cry with her when we mourn. And 6, 7, 8... Guys, I've had so many groups of friends that I've had to conform to or adapt myself to in order to be accepted. But she loves me for exactly how I am. The most me. And that is why marriage is so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I love you. Oh, okay, so.
So we're going to talk about marriage tonight. And we didn't want to just share our stories with you. We also wanted to talk about God's good design in marriage. There's so many things that we could talk about with marriage. There's thousands of books out there on marriage. Even our church, CA, is doing a sermon series on marriage right now. Crazy.
Not just one talk, like a whole series. Yeah.
But for us, we prayed and we really wanted to share with you guys God's good design in marriage. So.
Yeah, and we're really excited about that. And before we jump into why God's design is good, we figured we probably should start with what is God's design for marriage, right? Okay, so are you guys ready? You can take notes on this if you want. You can grab your handout underneath your chair and a pen under there if you haven't already. This is God's good design for marriage. Well, according to God's word, it's for one man and one woman to be united under God in the covenant of marriage. One man and one woman to be united under God in the covenant of marriage. I'll say it one more time. One man and one woman to be united under God in the covenant of marriage. And we're going to explain that a little bit in a second. It basically means that they are exclusively committed to each other for the rest of their lives. That's what that means. They're exclusively, that means no one else, committed, that means promise, to each other for the rest of their lives. That means for as long as they both shall live. So what's so good about that? Because that just sounds like a lot of words, right? It's kind of like, okay, great. I already knew that, Heather. Okay, so what's so good about that? Well, point number one tonight, we have 2 points, is marriage puts God's love and faithfulness on display. Marriage puts God's love and faithfulness on display. And that is number one for why God's design is so good. Why God's design is so good? Because marriage puts God's love and faithfulness on display. The ultimate vision of marriage we see in the Bible is that a man and a woman would choose to commit their lives to one another that actually displays God's unfailing, persevering, sacrificial love for sinners. Basically, the love and commitment between a husband and wife like Tyler and I, it's supposed to be a real-life example of God's love for the church, meaning all believers, all Christ followers. See, in Ephesians 5, I'm going to have a couple verses on the screen here. Paul's talking about the relationship between a husband and wife. And he says that love and submission are the markers of marriage. And in the same breath, he says this right up here. It's in Ephesians 5. It says, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And then he quotes Genesis 2:24, which is the first ever scripture we have on marriage in the Bible. And he says this, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And Jake and Levi told us what that means a couple weeks ago. And then Paul really brings it all home by saying this. He says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Okay, so wait, what? So Paul's talking about a real, actual, like, husband and wife marriage like ours. But he also says he's talking about Christ and the church. And you know what Christ did, right, to show how much he loved the church? How much he loved you? He sacrificed his life in the ultimate display of love on the cross. That is the love that is supposed to be on display for the world. You guys, it's clear that God's design for marriage is intertwined with the gospel message of God pursuing a loving and faithful relationship with us. The Bible actually calls the church the bride of Christ. It's beautiful. And of course, because imperfect humans, like me, marry other imperfect humans, like Tyler, marriages do not perfectly display God's perfect love and faithfulness, but that's still the design. And we know of some of the extreme ramifications of this because we know about the reality of broken trust and divorce. We know that even marriages fall short of showing the world God's faithful love. And honestly, you guys, that's part of why divorce grieves the heart of God so much. Because marriage, it's supposed to put on display the unfailing love and faithfulness of God. But that reality does not mean that the design is not good. It just means that when we don't follow God's good design, when we let our own selfishness, our sinfulness get in the way, it leads to brokenness. And when we do follow God's design and trust him, even in our imperfection, we get to partner with God in putting his faithful love on display for the world.
So just to recap, our first point was marriage puts God's love and faithfulness on display. And our second point for why marriage is God's good design is because covenant commitments lead to true intimacy. Covenant commitments leads to true intimacy. And you guys are like, hey, what's a covenant? Well, God's in the covenant business, you guys. So it's kind of important. Covenants basically mean that God makes commitments or covenants. And what happens is he makes agreements that binds people to himself. And since marriage is a covenant commitment, it means that, and track here, that a husband and wife enter into an agreement with each other and with God that binds them together, each other, and God. And that's crazy. And that's why marriage is an exclusive commitment their whole lives. The world has told us, oh, you should unite yourselves physically and emotionally with a lot of different people. Or maybe we're just with one person, but you don't need to have that covenant anymore. That's whatever. But guys, the truth is that marriage is a covenant commitment, and it is the only type of relationship that you can experience true intimacy. And it's because Heather stood across from me on the aisle and said, for better or for worse, no matter what happens, I choose you. And that is why we have such an awesome relationship. It means that no matter what, if things get bad, if you know her feelings for me change, if I make her angry, which definitely happens, if I exasperate her, which happens all the time, she's not going to get up and leave. She's going to continue to stay committed to me and love me for the rest of her life. And guys, that makes me feel more loved and secure than I can possibly explain. And it's because of that covenant commitment that marriage is the best place for sexual fulfillment.
And Aiden, you can come and join us now. Yeah.
God created sex to be both pleasurable and powerful. That's what has been repeated throughout this series. And God created marriage for you to experience the maximum pleasure and maximum power of sex. You might think, oh, pleasure is just a physical thing, Tyler. And guys, when I was your guys' age, I totally believed that too. But I can speak from experience now, and I know that it is way more pleasurable and more powerful to be known and loved for exactly who you are on the most raw level and knowing that your partner will never leave you. Some people have the misconception that getting married is a commitment that to one person, then you're going to put restrictions on your life. But guys, the truth is that committing to just one person forever actually unlocks that intimacy that will otherwise never be possible without that covenant commitment in marriage.
So we know that God's design for marriage is good. It's good because it puts God's love and faithfulness on display. And it's also good because covenant commitments lead to true intimacy. 6, 7, 8, we don't know what your chapter 1 has been like. Maybe you've already crossed physical boundaries. Maybe you've been looking at stuff you shouldn't be looking at. I don't know where you're at or what you're struggling with, or if there has been things already that you wish you could go back and change. But 6, 7, 8, here's what I do know. You can decide tonight to trust God with your sexuality and relationships. And if you are a follower of Christ here tonight, then no matter what you've done or no matter what you are struggling with, then his grace will make you new, just like in our story. And he won't leave you alone to face the consequences of past sin. He's going to walk alongside you to heal you and restore your purity. And 6, 7, 8, if you do that, if you decide to trust God with your sexuality and relationships now, then by the time you get married, your chapter 2 will be all about putting God's love and faithfulness on display and getting to experience that true intimacy in the covenant commitment of marriage. 6, 7, 8, this is not the end of your story because God is at work.